Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. So much has changed in the world around us in the past month. The new normal of work from home, the hand washing, the social distancing, and virtual meetings. Will it ever be the same again? We have invited few of our past guests to see how COVID-19 has impacted them and how they are coping. We recorded this episode on the 8th and 9th of April, 2020. Our first guest today is Laurie Garnier, founder of Silver Spun Goods. Silver Spun Goods uses U.S. cotton, dyed with natural dyes, and spun with silver. This yarn is then knit into socks, which have therapeutic properties. This product is completely made in the U.S. Laurie joins us from the D.C. area. Welcome, Laurie.
Hi, Vidya. How are you? Thanks for having me back again.
Since most of your manufacturing is stateside, how has COVID-19 impacted your business?
Well, you know, it's funny. actually, my business is doing really, really well right now. I'm way ahead in sales for the first month of April compared to last month. And I think it has to do with the fact that everybody's working from home. And the new tagline, especially on Instagram, is socks are the new shoes. When I saw that, I had to run with it, right? So,
yes.
So, socks are the new shoes. I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So to answer your question about production, you know, I have all of my yarn made at North Carolina State University at their textile college, and the college is closed down right now. I wouldn't be able to have anything made, even if I wanted to, yarn wise. And fortunately for me, literally 2 days before, you know, all of the shelter in place thing happened with COVID-19, I received a huge order. So I'm pretty stocked up right now on socks. So it's been okay for me so far.
In terms of marketing strategy, you said you just ran with the socks of the new shoes. How did you use that hashtag to help
your
business?
Well, I'm working by myself now. I don't have a marketing company anymore, and it's just back to me doing everything. So actually, the fact that I'm sort of focusing a lot on marketing, which I wasn't doing before. So when I saw that, you know, socks are the new shoes, I said, oh, I have to do something with this. You know, I started posting pictures of my socks and came up with the idea of an Instagram hashtag of, what is it? Working from home in my silver spun socks. People would send in pictures to me with their feet propped up on their, with their computer, and they're wearing their socks. And so I would repost those. And it's just sort of, I'm engaging more with my followers and just letting my personality show through.
So basically, you're more hands-on, so you feel more connected to the customers and your followers.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I need the hands-on stuff. So I'm actually really enjoying this because I'm having to really focus and stay focused, and I'm feeling engaged with my customers and what's going on. Now, of course, the whole bottom could drop out soon because people are going to start closing up their pocketbooks, I would say. There's so many people that are furloughed or have lost their jobs or, you know. So I don't know. I'm just sort of taking one day at a time and seeing what I can do. And as a small business, I really wanted to do something to help with this whole craziness that we're living in. So I started a little campaign where, you know, as a small business owner, I came up with the idea of gifting your hero. And again, I put this up on Instagram, and I also sent this out to my email list, is that people can buy a pair of my socks, have me send them to someone who is a hero of theirs, like someone who's working on the front line, a nurse, a doctor, a grocery store worker, whatever, right? And in it, I include a little card that says, thank you for what you do. You are my hero. And then it's signed by whomever purchased the socks. And then for every four pair of socks that I sell, I can donate one pair to a local hospital here in Washington. So it's not going to be a tremendous amount of donation, but I certainly hope that I'm able to at least donate a dozen pair of socks to that I've been doing. You know, the other thing you have to be careful of is I just don't want to come across like, oh, I'm trying to make all this money off of bad things that are happening to other people. You know,
you
don't
want to seem to be taking advantage of the situation.
Exactly. Because that's just not me. And
I totally understand, like, I'm not having my podcast released every week because I couldn't get myself to promote my podcast when people are going through what they're going through. But I've gotten feedback that people actually are listening more to podcasts about different things other than the virus. So I figured maybe it's good for me and for the listeners to have some new information, something different to listen to.
I think you're absolutely right. I can't even look at the news anymore or read the news. I've limited myself to one time a day because the overload and the impact, it's just you don't realize what it's doing to your psyche. If that's all that you're getting, you're gonna make yourself go crazy. So I think people are really listening to other things now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the perfect time to reach out, and people are learning how to knit and, you know, and doing all these things that they've never had time to do before. There's nothing better than knitting and listening to a podcast. So,
right. So how has this experience changed how you will do business in the future?
Well, I think I'm going to be much more involved in the day-to-day operations. Because, you know, let's face it, I don't think no one can sell my socks like I can sell my socks because I have the passion, right? Mm-hmm. I know everything about them. I think you should grow organically. And this whole sort of stepping off and stepping back, I think it's helped me tremendously with my business. It's just sort of like I can take the bull by the horns now and just run with it. That might be how it changes my business. I don't know. I don't know.
And nobody knows what the future holds for us now. When do we get back to the normal, or will it be a completely new normal?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a new normal. My daughter and I were talking about that today, and we were talking about shaking hands, right?
Right.
How traditional the handshake is in the American culture. I don't think that's going to be a thing anymore. I don't know if it's going to, what the new handshake is going to be, but, you know, so things like that, going into large crowds. I mean, everything is going to be different. Everything. I'm not saying it's going to be bad. Sometimes weird things have to happen so that there's this sort of...
To just reset, reboot our system.
To reset. Yes, I like that. Yeah, I think we all needed a reboot because things were getting a little out of control. I think my company will, I don't know if it'll be a reboot, but, you know, it's sort of like living in Groundhog Day. Every day is the same, right?
Right.
So, but it's giving me the chance to, I don't have to rush and say, oh my God, I have to get this email out today because if I don't, you know, I'm going to miss my window. The one good thing about it is that, you know, I used to think, okay, people are working right now, so I can't send it out now. They're making dinner now, so I guess I better time it so that my email goes out like at 8 o'clock at night when everybody's like got the kids to bed and they're sitting down and they're looking at their emails for the day or something. It's a little different now because you don't have to rush because everybody's looking at their email almost all the time, right? So, anyway, it's allowing me to be a little more flexible and not so stringent on, you know, when things can go out and when they can't, that type of thing. There's a silver lining to this. I don't know what it is, but it's there. We just don't know what it is yet.
Thank you, Lori, for coming on the show, and please be safe.
Thank you. You too. Be healthy. Wear your socks. You know they're the new shoes.
Our next guest is Catherine Shimoni and Joan Schifrin of Global Goods Partners. Global Goods Partners is a nonprofit which works with different groups worldwide to bring us very special handcrafted products. May it be earrings from Guatemala, a ceramic bowl from Tunisia, or hand-woven baskets from Ghana. These lovely ladies and their team work very hard to bring us these products seamlessly. Joan and Catherine join us from New York City and Washington, D.C. Welcome, Joan and Catherine.
Hi, Vidya.
How has your world changed because of COVID-19?
Well, I'll start. This is Joan. I would have to say that our watchword is flexibility, as people all over are finding. It's not business as usual. Our partners, our artisan partners around the world are basically on lockdown, as our businesses here, which includes our wholesale customers who have mostly suspended their operations, at least temporarily. The days of orders and receiving product and getting orders and fulfilling them has changed quite a bit. We continue to have some business from our e-commerce site, retail orders coming in, and we are fulfilling them from our warehouse in Queens, New York, following very closely CDC regulations. There's one dedicated staff member at our warehouse at one time who is taking making special efforts to clean surfaces, clean packing material, wearing gloves and masks, and making sure that we are packing and delivering to our customers a healthy, clean product.
The countries where you get your supplies, your product from, that is a challenge for you too, because it seems to go in phases. You know, as America comes out, maybe the countries like India, Nepal will be peaking. How will you cope with that?
So, yes, I mean, it's not easy. We're in very close contact with our artisan partners in the countries around the globe, and we speak to them daily. We're learning about the challenges that they're currently facing and the lockdown dates that seem to be changing regularly. So, for example, in Nepal, where we have two very important artisan partners making beautiful felt products, and especially our felt flowers that are very popular, they had their first lockdown towards the end of March with an open date of early April. Then that date changed, and now it's mid-April. And then just yesterday, we found out that all their international flights will be grounded until end of April. So it's a challenging time for all. And I think the important thing is that we continue to remain in close contact with our artisan partners to learn about the situation for them in their communities, in their country.
So the challenge for you is threefold. One, your supply, then the domestic market, the wholesale and retail, and the donations that you normally bank on to support your partners.
Yes.
It is true.
In that regard, we have reached out and have received some extra funding from donors who have supported our work for a number of years, and we're so grateful that we can rely on some of our donors. People have been extraordinarily generous. People who have placed an order on our website, they have the option of rounding up a little bit, and we're so appreciative of people who do that. Even if it's a small amount, it's really very helpful. We've also submitted our application for funding through the Paycheck Protection Program that the government has made available. Don't know anything yet. I know it's been a really complicated process and sort of a tangled mess, but we hope to receive some funding through that as well.
Just going to say, I mean, it has been a hardship for a lot of our wholesale customers because many of them have brick and mortar stores that have closed. Some of them, it's unclear whether they'll be able to reopen, but we're hopeful that most of them will be able to once we get past this. And we have one client, Food 52, who has really promoted our product and has been successful in selling our felt flowers to their customer base. So we are, as Joan mentioned, still operational and able to get product to customers, which is great. It's unusual during this difficult time.
Catherine, I know that your husband is a doctor and he is working with COVID patients. How has your life changed?
Well, everyone's life has changed during this time, but me in particular, it's very tense here in New York City, being the epicenter in the country. But it is getting better. We're hearing about the numbers going down slightly and the flattening of the curve happening. But, you know, as the wife of a physician, I worry about him, of course, and I worry about all healthcare workers and members of his team. And, I would say, and Joan will laugh about this, but I would say my life has changed dramatically with the amount of cooking I'm doing. There's no longer carry out in New York City, or limited carry out, I should say. And I'm doing a lot of cooking and cleaning like most people at home these days, and have a full apartment with kids. But it's the biggest issue really is it's tense. It's tense for everyone. It's tense even walking outside and making sure to keep that distance. And also we're asked to wear facial covering. So it's intense. And he's being very safe, actually living in another apartment so that we don't have the transmission of COVID, if hopefully he doesn't get it. One of the highlights for me each day is at 7 p.m. when everybody opens their windows and claps for what all the people who are taking care of patients and all the other, you know, service people who are servicing our grocery stores and our mail and our UPS. I mean, those are our heroes.
How do you think the future of your business will change? Will your mission be altered by this experience? What will change, you think?
At this point, I think it's really hard to know. And I think it's a question of how many of our artisan partners and customers will survive this intact. We will be ready to help our artisan partners should they have to step back from producing for a long period of time. We will try to make funding available so that the women who work with our partners are continue to receive income. And for our partners, as I mentioned earlier, we're just trying to be really flexible. If they have orders in and they can't accept product now, we're going to hold on to them. If we're looking at changing the minimums, I think our mission will always be about helping women expand their ability to earn a sustainable living wage. It could take a different form, possibly, and I just don't know what that will be. But when we come out of this, I think we're going to be in good shape. We're using this time now to streamline some processes internally that have been sort of, should be on the front burner, but went to the back burner for a while. So we're like putting in a new inventory management system, working with new financial partners to streamline some of our accounting procedures. We want to be ready to come back full force when the time is right. So there may be more groups that we can work with if their access to the market, the Western market, has been somehow has eroded because of fallout other places. But we're cautiously optimistic.
Thank you, Joan and Catherine, for joining me. You both, please be safe.
Thank you. You too, Vidya. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vidya. Take care.
Our next guest is Caroline Fisher, founder of Swahili Coast. Swahili Coast works with owner-owned co-ops in Tanzania, creating, amongst other products, beaded sandals. Welcome, Caroline.
Hi, thanks for having me, Vidya.
What is the present situation in Tanzania with regards to the coronavirus?
Well, as of now, the reports of coronavirus infections are pretty low in Tanzania. There are 25 confirmed tests, and those are mostly with folks who've been traveling in Europe. However, as is the case with most of Africa, the health system, access to healthcare for a lot of folks is a big problem, and thus we're not sure of the actual rates of infection in Tanzania.
How has your supply been affected? Has Tanzania shut down as yet?
Or? Yes. So Tanzania has shut down specifically towards folks who are coming through the border. They've mandated a 14-day quarantine for anyone entering Tanzania. But as of now, businesses are mostly remaining open. And that's good for us, but we do want to make sure that our partners in Tanzania are remaining safe. We are lucky in that the place where our workshop is located is outside of Dar es Salaam, and it is fairly dense in the surrounding area, but where our partners are located is a little more spread out. So we're hoping that the virus doesn't spread as much there.
Yeah, they almost seem to be a month behind us.
Yeah. I think part of that is just there isn't as much international travel. And also folks do tend to stay in the area where they live and work. And so it's my hope that the virus doesn't spread as rapidly there and hopefully isn't as virulent.
So in terms of supply chain, you can still you are still able to get your products into the country if you need to.
Yes.
You have two retail outlets States?
Yes.
So those are shut down?
Yes.
Those have been shut down for about a month, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. We made the decision to close in early March, and we have no regrets in that regard because the safety of our employees is, of course, very, very important. And we've moved to selling a lot online, but our biggest concern is making sure that our partners in East Africa are taken care of. And thus, for the time being, for the foreseeable future, we're committing 100% of all of our orders that are placed through our website to a fund that goes to supporting our artisan partners in East Africa.
So now you've moved completely to online sales.
Yes. So we're selling online exclusively. And additionally, we do most of our business through a wholesale. But as you well know, all of our retail partners around the country are also closed for the time being. So we've thought it's in the best interest of our partners in East Africa to continue whatever business we can for them right now, and that is and that's definitely online.
For you, the additional challenge is most of your products are the summer outdoorsy, go to the beach, wear these sandals, take these towels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do you plan to change your marketing strategy to be able to sell?
Yeah.
Because you've committed to buying from these worker-owned co-ops.
Yes, absolutely. So the good news is everyone still needs shoes. So we do still we do sell shoes, and it is the time of year when folks are looking to purchase sandals. Part of the reality of our situation is we just don't know how long this is going to last, and so we're a bit reticent to reinvent the wheel because we don't want to focus too much on other products and thus get our partners in Tanzania behind if things do pass relatively quickly in the next few months. We are looking into adding a few different products. Our seamstress partners in Tanzania, we've been chatting with her about doing some cloth masks out of kitenge fabric, which is the wax printed fabric in East Africa, and also doing